I'm going to speak from down front this evening. It's good to see everyone this evening. And as we've been mentioning, I'm going to do a trip review of my Ghana trip, and I'll do that from down front. And it's good to have an opportunity to do that, and I look forward to going through that with you this evening. First of all, I wanted to thank again the elders of the congregation here for allowing me the time to be gone. And as I look over just the big picture of what was accomplished, I think that it was very good to do that, and Lord willing, I hope we might be able to do that again in the future. There was a lot of good accomplished in the Lord's work. So I wanted to thank the elders for that and the congregational support in being able to make that trip. Also wanted to thank all the different individuals who gave me funds privately for other kinds of things like benevolence, and I'll be talking about that this evening. And I appreciate you doing that as well. So let's take a trip this evening to Ghana, Africa. And I hope that our time spent will be encouraging. And we are going to have some Bible verses from time to time, so if you'll keep your Bible handy. I want to begin. We flew from Nashville, Tennessee, went up to JFK. In New York, and then over to Ghana, Africa. Of course, Ghana is in Western Africa. Just two countries over is Liberia, where Eric and Beatrice are from. But I was in Ghana for about 3 weeks. When you fly into the capital of Accra, it's right down here on the coast, and you take the highway, the N1 highway down to Cape Coast. Later in the trip, I was also in Takoradi, but then back in Cape Coast. But the primary time was there. It's called Central Ghana. And when I left, the two brothers that I was traveling with, Wayne Seaton and Steve Walker, they traveled up here to Kumasi in the Ashanti region. But I was down here for the whole time. Wayne Seaton, he's a former Marine, was in Vietnam, very good man, been preaching the gospel for many, many years in North Carolina. He has recently moved to Columbia, Tennessee, and worships there. This is Daniel Arthur, who I've been working with for about 7 or 8 years now. He met us at the airport. Steve Walker preaches at Kingston Springs on the west side of Nashville. So Steve and Wayne and I went together, and like I said, they stayed on for about another week and a half. They just got back this past Monday, I guess. Let's see if I can back up here. The highway follows the coast, and so there are places where you can see the Atlantic. There were different times where we were able to either drive by it or walk up to it as well. This is a shot of a typical street in Accra or Cape Coast. There's a lot of street vending. You see people carrying things on their heads. Very common to carry baskets and other things on their head. A lot of street preaching takes place. Shops constantly and everywhere along the way. This is a gas station, so there's a break there, but it's just constant on both sides of the street, street vending everywhere. This is one of the major roads in Accra, and you're going to see coming up here on the left all of this street vending. And we were able to do some Bible studies in these areas, as I will show you later. But just thousands of these all over town, just thousands of shops. They do have regular stores that you walk into, but much of their buying and selling is done on the street. This is some school children in uniforms on the side of the road. A lot of walking. Very few cars. Most people walk. Boys in white shirts and khaki pants, and the girls in dresses. What's interesting is, not just in the church, but all over the country, the majority of women wear dresses in Ghana. It's just a tradition that they have that goes way back. So dresses primarily on the ladies and the girls. This is one of my favorite shots. This was in a store. This is how they carry their young. They wrap them up in a towel and they carry them on their back. It's kind of neat. And you ought to see how that lady gets that little baby on her back. That's kind of neat just watching that. A couple of slings this way and that way, and after a little while they're there in place. But that's how they carry the little ones. Daniel knows a dressmaker, a seamstress, a guy who sews, and Daniel had some shirts made for us while we're there. That's Steve getting fitted for a shirt. I just thought this is just kind of a random picture, but this place, this sign was telling you how to get to heaven. It was a place called heaven. It's a store. And it gave directions to heaven. I thought, well, you know, I've always wanted to know how to get there, so there you go. If you follow that, those directions, that's how you get to heaven. This is one of three slave castles that goes back to the late 1400s and early 1500s. And I'm probably going to have something more to say about this in another lesson. But there are three slave castles in Ghana, and this is one of the most famous one in Cape Coast. The British were there for over 100 years, and we know about the dark period in human history of slavery, and this, it took place at this place and two other places in Ghana. This is the harbor where the slaves would have been exported to the Americas and other places. We come now to where Daniel and Teresa live, the gospel preacher that I worked with. They don't have a whole lot. You can see these tropical plants. There's a lot of banana, coconut, mango. It's a very tropical environment. It was in the 80s the whole time we were there, and the humidity almost matches the temperature pretty much every day. Right toward the end, it got down to 75, and the ladies were wearing sweaters and something to cover up with at 75. So we would park out here on the street and walk down into this narrow area, and there's a metal door here. And this metal door goes into, I guess you could call it like a little apartment complex. There's, I think, 8 different families in here. But right before this metal door right there is this. And that's an open sewage line. That's open sewer right there. So the reason I mention that is what's interesting about Ghana is they'll have the internet and then they'll have something like this. They'll have the internet, and then they'll have a toilet inside, but it won't be hooked up to water. So there are things that you would say are modern, then there are things that almost, in my judgment, approach third world. So it's just a combination of a lot of different things. It's almost like they have money for certain things, but then they don't have a lot of money for other things. And infrastructure is definitely something that is not high on their list. So you cross over that every day, and you can imagine the smell going and coming to the preacher's house. Once you get in this little compound, they have just this little building right here. It's a one bedroom, a little place, and there's 4 of them. There's 5 of them. The 3 children sleep on the floor, and they have a small mattress, and Daniel and Teresa sleep in the living room on a couch. They don't have their own room. They don't have their own bed. This is an outside court area. This is the inside living room. Daniel and Teresa sleep on these couches. We sat here every morning for breakfast. That was just a little table there, and that's where we had our breakfast. There's Wayne and Steve. But again, it's a one bedroom, and then there's this little living room area, and that's where Daniel and Teresa sleep. I just wanted to mention something about some of the food. There's a chicken bone right there. Chicken and rice is very popular. Of course, fruit. I mentioned earlier the mango, the pineapple. They have watermelon, other fruits. But I just wanted to mention some of the food. It was mostly chicken and rice. And Teresa is making this, and she's a very good. The food was was good. I stayed well. I never got sick. The one time that my stomach was a little upset was after we'd gone to a restaurant. It wasn't even Teresa. She made great food. I got to thinking, I got to stop going to the restaurant. Let's just stick with Teresa. But she made very good food. This is some fish. The other common thing is because they're on the coast, fish is very common. This is some fish underneath some vegetables. There's your chicken and rice again, just in a lot of different forms. That's some fried rice. There's your fish and vegetables. This was some scrambled eggs, and they call it sausage. We would call it a hot dog. But for breakfast one morning, she made that. This is some porridge. For breakfast, they also have oatmeal and things like that. You can barely see it, but that little sandwich back there's two pieces of white bread, and then she would put some vegetables in there and toast it. I'd never had that before. That was actually pretty good. I wanted to show you this. This is what Teresa cooks on. She has a hot plate, and there's three pots there, and then she also cooks on, she has two charcoal outdoor grills. That's how she cooks. And we had been there just a few days, and Teresa had dedicated 3 weeks to making sure that we were fed properly. And I just asked her, I said, how are you cooking all of this food? And she said, this is all I have here, and then this. And so I went to the store and bought her a stove. She was so happy to get that. And so some of y'all that gave for these things involving benevolence or extra help, some of it went to that stove. We just have so much that we take for granted. And she's bent over on the ground with two of these little things, and this is probably a pot of rice cooking there. And she had that, and that's all she had. And so she was so glad. It's just a little propane stove that runs off of like a barbecue grill tank. She was very glad to get that. After she got the stove, she wanted to bake a cake. So she made a cake. And that's it was almost like cornbread. It was an orange cake. Of course, there's your coconut. They eat coconut all day long. Daniel, one time we were at the room, and he shimmied up a tree and got some coconut, and we had coconut as a snack. It's not like what you're thinking, like an almond joy or something like that. It's not sweet. It's very bland. Doesn't have the sugar in it like you're used to maybe here, but it's just very good. A lot of pineapple groves. There's your pineapple grown. And this is Daniel. He didn't know I was taking this picture. He's 10 years old, and he's washing dishes. Young people, look at this. Okay. He didn't know I was doing this. That's one of his chores every day. And since leaving, Steve Walker is helping them to buy a washing machine. Because one day, I just took a picture of Teresa. She didn't know I was doing this. She's washing the family clothes right there, and she's going to hang them on the line. So Steve's going to buy her a washing machine. Like I said, there'll be some things where you're thinking, well, you know, that's kind of modern. And then there's other things where they just do not have what we have. That right there is a big tank of water. And it's got a spigot on it. And that's where they get most of their water. They don't have indoor water in this little place. So turn me to Galatians 3. It just reminds me that we've got to be mindful that we're all brethren. And we're all one in Christ, regardless of where we come from. We do need to be mindful of our brethren. Paul was always mindful of brethren, not only where he was locally, but everywhere he had been. And it's a great reminder, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. It doesn't matter where we are in the world. When we put our faith in Christ and obey Him, for as many of you all over the world, as we're baptized into Christ, that put on Christ, there can be neither Jew nor Greek, there can be neither bond nor free, there can be neither male and female, for you are all one man in Christ Jesus. So it doesn't matter where we go in the world, when somebody's done this, we are united with our brethren. And Paul mentions three things here that in the world typically divide people. He mentions ethnicity, Jews and Greeks. He mentions social status, bond or free, and then he mentions gender, male and female. And those things are not a consideration, Paul says, when we're all one in Christ. Now, he doesn't say that those things cease to exist. There are other passages where he will uphold those same three things and talk about them. But in Christ, that is not the determining factor. We're all one in Christ. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. And it doesn't matter where we are in the world. And it's just a good reminder to be mindful of our brethren here and around the world. So for three Sundays, the Sunday started very early in the morning. We got up at 3:30. I normally don't get up at 3:30 on Sunday. But we would get up at 3:30. We would leave the room by 4:30 in order to be on the radio program at 5 o'clock. All three Sundays dealt with questions involving marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Several of those questions had to do with polygamy, because in Ghana there is a high amount of Islam or Muslim people there. There are people who practice polygamy there and so forth. Several of the questions had to do with that. But for three Sundays in a row, Sunday started very early with that radio program. And then after the radio program is over with at 6, you get in the car and you drive a few minutes to the nursing training church. That's what I'm going to call it. It's a small congregation of about 12 students. They have their own treasury. They take up their own contribution. They have the Lord's Supper. They have a regular service, just like you're used to. But it's only about 12 nursing students, because they cannot leave the campus and go to the other services. So Daniel travels to them. And so that was from 6:30 to 8. Here's a couple of girls getting the chairs set up. There's the Lord's table. They cover it. They always, no matter where you are, they cover it with a cloth in case there's flies or whatever. But notice the open air. I ran into this a lot in the Philippines. And I think it was the second Sunday that I was there. It was a downpour. You can't hear. You can't hear hardly anything. You have to start yelling and speaking up. They have ambient sound issues that we don't have. Dogs barking, roosters crowing, cars going by, motorcycles, rain. And when stuff like that's going on, you just have to kind of speak up. But we were here for three Sundays. These girls are they're doing nursing training. It's a 3-year program. And then they will be nurses. Here is Steve. Steve taught on the Sermon on the Mount each time. There's Wayne and Daniel, and there's a few here. Some more will show up, but there's about 9 girls and 3 boys in this place. And some members of the church, they're out of duty, and I will bring them up later. They live here, and this is a part of their place. So they're letting these young people meet there at the church. It's kind of like an open-air patio or carport, even though a car would not go in there. Now, some brethren here before I left back in the spring gave me some money for Bibles, and Bibles were purchased, and I'm giving them their new Bibles. Some of these young people do not have Bibles, but now they do. Here's a young man. The other thing, this is a communion tray set. They did not have a good way to distribute the communion, so I helped to purchase a communion tray before we left Accra, and we brought that and gave that to them. That's another young man there in that nursing school. These same students showed up later for a young people's Bible study where Daniel preaches, and so it's these same young people. This is the nursing school. This is where they take classes, and a couple of buildings here. There's a dorm off to the right. But you see all of this dirt and washout, and that's all dirt and washout. It's just very rugged and rustic once you leave the highway. There were several times where we were stuck. There were several times where we had car issues. They just do not have the infrastructure that we have, and the road system is one of those things that's just very lacking. This was just panning around at one of the Sunday services. Just a small group of young Christians that want to meet together every, there's your laundry right there, every Sunday. So it reminds me of, there are three families in the New Testament that are described as individuals that opened up their home. You might recall in Romans chapter 16 that Priscilla and Aquila are described as individuals who opened up their house for the church that meets in their house. So Romans 16 and 1 Corinthians 16 mention Priscilla and Aquila. Colossians 4:15, Nymphas. Nymphas opened up her home to the brethren. In Philemon verse 2, Archippus and Apphia opened up their home, the church that is in their house. And so here is a place where some brethren lived, and they let that carport area or that patio area be a place where some Christians can meet because they can't leave campus very easily. This couple that lives in that home, they've been out of duty for about 3 years, and on the last Sunday that we were there, we talked with them quite a bit. They're having some very serious marriage problems. He had had a child out of wedlock, and there's a lot of animosity and problems there. There's in-law problems, there's spousal problems, there's the girl that's still on the side, and the child, and all of that, and they're having some very serious problems. And I spoke with them for about 2 hours on the last Sunday, and they're going to try. We need to keep them in our prayers. Asari is the last name. And Richard and Augustina Asare, they're going to try to make some commitments to do better, but they need to come back to the Lord. But they were willing to use, let their place be used for this little small church. After the training college church, we get in the car again and get over to where Daniel regularly preaches. He's been preaching there since about 2005. Aswichi is how they pronounce that, Aswichi. And they have a very long service every Sunday morning from 8:30 to 2. And that was every Sunday morning. The next series of pictures have to do with the Aswichi people and building and so forth. So I just wanted to mention there was the Sunday morning that was there, those three Sunday mornings. And then there were two Saturdays where there were two lectureships. The first one was for men only, men's character, men's responsibilities in the church. There were about 75 men. On the second Saturday, it was men, women, and children, and there were about 235 in attendance for that. The third thing that I did quite a bit at this particular building was for 2 weeks in a row, every night, Monday through Friday, there were various classes for men, women, and the youth. So Monday and Tuesday night of each week was men's training. Wednesday night was the midweek Bible study. Thursday night was the ladies' Bible class. And then Friday night, again, both for 2 weeks, was some young people studies. So these next series of pictures are from the Aswichi building. Now, this building is located up on the top of a hill in Cape Coast, and they're still working on the upper part. Eventually, this is going to be the auditorium. So there'll be a roof up here, and this will be the auditorium. Right now, they're meeting down below in what we would call the basement area, but that's their auditorium. Now, that will be turned into classrooms. But they have about 100 in attendance, and down below can probably hold up around 200 or so. But that's Wayne right there, and this is going to be the upper area. So it looks out over Cape Coast. This is a picture. I'm standing up on that roof area looking out over Cape Coast. You can see, again, the tropical area. And I'm going to explain this little thing here in a minute. But that is the view from that upper part of that building. When that's finished, that's what they'll be looking at. So they have an outhouse. They'll have a toilet, for example, but it won't be hooked up to water. So you flush it with a bucket of water. Now, where do you get the bucket of water? Well, I'll mention in just a minute some ladies that are very hard workers, but you've got to keep the bucket of water filled up. There's things that have to go on. We just push a handle and it flushes. They've got more involved, and they stay on top of those things. This is a stand-up urinal for both men and women. You walk in there, and you pull that little door behind you. That's what that is. And so, and it was being used. It's just a different culture. But they will do that in addition to those that other outhouse type thing that you saw. But that's the brethren that regularly meet everywhere, every week when Daniel was preaching. These are the facilities that they have. Down below in this basement area is where they're meeting now. Like I said, it can hold, if you cram everybody in there, you can get about 200 people in there. So I was here for 3 weeks, pretty much primarily. Steve was at some other places. Wayne, of course, went on to another place, but I tried to stay with one congregation and build them up and strengthen them. So this is where I was at primarily. I wanted to take a picture of this PowerPoint projector. This is an amazing story. About 3 weeks before I got there, gang members in this community stole this projector. They stole this projector. Members of the church had to go to the gang member's house and asked them, what will it take to get our projector back? They sold it to them. The brethren had to buy back their own projectors. And I said, what? And they said, yes, if we get the police involved, it's going to be worse. If we rile up these gang members, it's going to be worse. Let's just pay the money and bring the thing back. They had broken in the building, stole it. And it's a small enough community, everybody knew who it was. One of the ladies said, I know who did that, and I know where he lives. Let's go talk to him. And he said, yeah, you can have it back for a price. That price was several hundred dollars that they did not have. So, interesting. This is Daniel preaching. Again, he's been preaching there since about 2005, and again, they have about 100 members or so. And this is where I was at quite a bit for 3 weeks. So here's another example. They'll have a PowerPoint projector there, for example, and then, you know, the outhouse type facilities. So it's a combination of modern and not so modern. You see this man standing up right here. It's very common for them to have question and answer after many different types of programs. It could be a sermon, men's training, ladies' Bible class, Wednesday night class, Sunday class, anything. So I did a lot of question and answer after each service. And they stand up, they give them the microphone like we do here, and they ask the questions. There's not a lot of light in this area, so a lot of these pictures, especially at night, are darker, but these are some of the Aswichi brethren during one of the services. This again is one of the services. The ladies dress very nicely and a lot of times very colorful. This is the ladies' Bible class. They were very gracious to me, very kind to me. I taught two different Thursday night ladies' Bible classes and really enjoyed that. This is Teresa, the preacher's wife over here, and several of the ladies, young and old, coming to that class. Again, another service on one of the occasions. These are the children. In the service, a lot of times, back here, the real little children will sit, and over in this area, some older kids, maybe like elementary type school, and then the junior high and high school will sit over. They don't tend to sit with their parents. They will sit in groups, and this was one of the little groups that was there on one occasion. Some of the children were there. This is the outdoor Bible class. So ladies, those of you who teach the young kids, you might appreciate this. This is their outdoor Bible classroom. And again, you got the chicken that periodically comes up, and you've got, you know, different things going on. But you see that stick right there? You know what that stick is used for? It's used for two things. Anybody want to tell me what the two things are? Anybody? Spanking is one. What's the other one? Well, maybe that's a third use. They point. There was a little off camera there. There was a little marker board, and so she uses it to point, and she uses it to swat, someone's tap them on the head or whatever when they're misbehaving. So, they're, needless to say, they are very disciplined young people. One night, the power went out at the building, so we're down below. It's already dark enough as it is. We all came up on top, and somebody went and got some battery-operated lights, and we had the service up there on the top. You saw that picture earlier where they're going to finish off that auditorium. So you have to adjust on the fly. I had a PowerPoint presentation ready to go, and you just have to scrap that. And it ended up going through Psalm 103. Let us not forget all of the Lord's benefits. And Benjamin, I'll be pointing him out in a minute. He was my translator on that occasion. So you just have to learn to, you know, adapt. Benjamin Nkrumah, he's about 32 years old. He helped us. Very educated, very knowledgeable, both in English and then his local languages, which is Fanti and Twi. And he's translating for me on this occasion. This was one of those shirts that Daniel's friend made, and they tend to be colorful. And I noticed that Curtis wore his this evening. Daniel sent one back for Curtis, and it's a little colorful. So they like that kind of thing. Again, there were two lectureships. The men's lectureship brought in about 75 men, and the other one brought in about 235 people. So it's very good, and they get names and addresses of all kinds of visitors, and they follow up with them, and it's very organized in that manner. This was the lectureship with both men and women and children, very well attended, and a very packed house. The ladies often wear headdresses that are very pretty and a lot of times very colorful. You can see that a lot even up in here. And this is that lectureship. This was kind of neat. You can barely see it because there's a person sitting here. But this is a preacher that was visiting and his wife, and they had on matching shirts. I like that. That was kind of neat. Maybe Sherry and I can work on that. Steve is teaching on, this is the lectureship that had the men and women and young people. There's all kinds of people outside that aren't fitting in here. And it was very well attended. The theme was, I spoke on members one of another, our responsibilities toward each other. Steve spoke on the responsibilities of the church toward the preacher. And the third was a Ghanaian brother who spoke on the preacher's responsibility toward the church. You see that those are not padded pews? Did you notice that? There's no air conditioning and there's no padded pews. There's the preacher's wife. She has the matching thing. But they are willing to sit there for hours. This was one of the evenings where I had men's training. Not everybody's there, but they averaged about 20 men. We went through the different things on serving in the public service, and they enjoyed that, and they are going to work on that and improve on that. There were two Friday nights where there was youth primarily. The first one was the social media and youth. Steve and I spoke on that. That was well attended. And then the second Friday night was just simply what they called youth counseling. And so myself and Steve and another preacher, the young people were all divided up, and they would just send us one after another, and we would help them with different things that were going on in their lives. And that was really good to do that. A lot of different Bible questions, a lot of different personal things going on. And one of the biggest things that came up with, I had probably six or seven that night. One of the biggest things that came up was my future education. I don't have the money. My parents don't have the money for me to go to school. What should I do? So it is a big factor that they have to consider. Very bright minds, great talent, bright minds, great young people, but economics is hindering a lot of the. These are some signs in the church building there at Oswiecie. Up front it says, you are here to worship God Almighty, your Creator, Revelation 4:8. It's a great reminder. Be attentive, meditative, and concentrated. Don't converse. don't sleep, Habakkuk 2:20. During one of the lectureships, Daniel was going around waking people up. Over here, that would be offensive, you know. We'd get our feelings hurt, or that would be offensive. But he goes around and he just taps on people's shoulders, you know, you need to wake up, you need to wake up. And, you know, it works. But we need to remember why we are here. And then the sign going out of the building, you are going out to serve. Watch your actions. 2 Corinthians 3:2. That's the passage that talks about how the word epistle read and known among all men. And again, down here at the bottom, watch your actions. So, some great reminders at the front of the building and the back of the building. I like this one. They do closing announcements, and they use the PowerPoint to do closing announcements. I like this one. Absenteeism, they've got a typo there, but absenteeism with reason. I like that. Yeah, I like that. Because you'll often have absenteeism without reason. So what are the reasons? Well, I'm sick, of course, of course. Absenteeism with reason. I like how they do that. This is one brother. This is down the street from where Daniel lives. His name is Samson. He makes furniture. This stuff looks like that press board stuff that you buy at Walmart or wherever you buy stuff and put it together. That's not what this is. This is solid wood. It's all handcrafted. It's impressive. This thing right here looks like one of those things you buy, press board, and put it together with instructions. It's not. It's all handmade. So he is doing a good work there, and he's selling a lot of furniture. He's a Christian who's very conscientious, and he does good work. One evening toward the end of the visit, Daniel and I visited a lady who needed some encouragement in building up. She has this child, his name is Seti, and he took to me after a little while. But her husband lives and works in the United States. She's by herself. She's a nurse and a midwife. But because she's by herself, she often gets discouraged and neglected and this and that. And so Daniel said, let's go visit her. And we did that to try to encourage her and took a picture of that. So turn with me to Acts chapter 9, just a few passages here. One of the main things that I wanted to do while I was there was build up the brethren. Spend time with the brethren, the preacher and his wife and other brethren, and build them up. That is so important. And if we can do that with our brethren here or anywhere we can go, I would encourage us to do that. The church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace, being edified and walking in the fear of the Lord, and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit was multiplied. And I tried to encourage brethren in the same type of way. Fear God, follow His word, keep being faithful. So all of these services, the radio program, the college service, the regular service, all of the evening stuff was meant to try to encourage, to build up and edify. Acts 15 and 41, Paul goes around to those who are already brethren. He went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. So much good is done by telling people to stay faithful and stay strong. And here's how to, with the young people, here's how to, you know, stay away from the devil and be a strong young Christian. It's very important. A few verses later, chapter 16, verse 5, as Paul and others are revisiting the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in number daily. And we're going to, I'll show some baptisms here in a minute, but there were about 15 baptisms in all from our work there. So they certainly increased in number, and I hope that I encourage them to increase in the faith as well. Wanted to single out two young ladies. This is Juliet on the left, and she's about 19, and Joyce is about 28 years old, and she's on the right. They're both single. Joyce is a fourth grade school teacher, and she makes $42 a month. $42 a month. And I talked with her about her further schooling and what she might be able to do. And if some of you want to talk with me later about that, she would definitely be worthy of her further education so that she can help herself a little bit better. And Juliet graduated high school 2 years ago. She's at home. She wants to be a language teacher, so that they have French there. So French, English, then the local languages, Fanti and Twi. But her father, he has money, but he uses all the money on other things. He won't use it on her education. So she's sitting at home. She's got a valuable mind. She's very talented. And she's not able to go anywhere right now because of that situation. And Steve Walker is wanting to try to help her further her education. But on the first Sunday that I got there, they don't know me from Adam. I don't know them. These young ladies are hard workers. Joyce was in the building. I walk into the building. She had, they sell these, they're like 2-foot brooms. They will take straw and bind it together on one end and make a little hand broom. She was bent over sweeping the church floor. It's concrete, so it gets dirty and different things. She's sweeping. Juliet is doing different things. They set up chairs. They take down chairs. They pass out water. They do all kinds of things. They are very hard workers. And it's great to see people working. And it reminded me of Romans chapter 16, 1 and 2, where Paul talks about Phoebe, who was a servant in the church at Cenchrea. And he says, for she herself also has been a helper of many and of my own self. Let me encourage our young people here this evening to be servants and to be helpers. Let's talk a little bit about the two preachers that I was with. This is Daniel Arthur and his wife Teresa. They are in their early 40s. They have 3 children, Danny, who's 10. Rachel is 12, and Anna is now 14. And I've known Daniel for about 7 or 8 years now, and we've corresponded a lot with email and phone calls, and I finally got a chance to be with him. So there's Daniel on the left. Benjamin Nkrumah, he is from the Accra area where we flew into, and he also stayed with us each day. He would go home on the weekends and preach at his local congregation and come back early on Monday to be with us all throughout. We find young men. This is his wife, Rita, and he is a high school business accounting teacher. He teaches some classes at a high school and then preaches as well. I spent every day that I could trying to build up these two younger preachers. And I thought about what Paul did. Turn with me to 1 Timothy 6. We won't read all of these, but I just mentioned some passages there in Timothy and Titus where Paul took some time just to personally encourage young preachers. They go through a lot of struggles. They have church problems. They have economic problems. They have work issues that they have to tackle. And there is a lot going on in their personal lives that we don't realize. And so a lot of times Paul tried to build them up. So follow after righteousness and fight the good fight of the faith. And I charge you to follow the commandment. And as I had opportunity to talk with Daniel in the room, we talked about spiritual and Bible things. When I was with Benjamin and Daniel in the car, I tried to talk with them about spiritual and Bible things, knowing that my time was limited there. So I tried to build them up and their wives as much as possible, because it's a rewarding work, but it's a very challenging work. And we all need that. Now, there was time for what we call personal evangelism or personal work. This is one of those thousands of shops that's on the side of the road, and it's owned by a member of the church, Luis, and his older sister. And they are a sewing business. There's some sewing machines right here. One of their biggest clients would be schools, because they have all those school uniforms. But they sew, and you can see some of the things that they've been sewing back here. But Luis and his older sister, and then she has 2 little boys. This is a sewing shop. Well, these members of the church have 3 young ladies. They're called apprentices. They're learning to sew clothes. And Luis said that we could have a Bible study with them one day. And so we did that. And here they are just outside the shop. This young lady is a member of the Presbyterian Church, a church international of some sort, and then a Pentecostal church. And we had a very good Bible study, and Daniel is going to follow up with him. This lady right here, she shows a lot of promise. She had a lot of really good questions and agreed. We were basically talking about the need to be a New Testament Christian without being a part of any denomination. And I believe we were making some headway with these young ladies. The next day, I had a Bible study with this young man here. He sells minutes for cell phones, minutes and data. So people will walk up, I need an hour's worth of data or minutes, and they buy it, and he sells it to them. And I had a Bible study with him. He was raised in the Methodist Church, and he was sprinkled as a baby. And so we were talking about how that baptism is immersion. And he understood all of that. He wrote down all the passages, and he said, I'm going to go talk to my reverend about this. He said, that was not right for me to be sprinkled. I should have been immersed. And it should have been when I was older, not when I was a baby. So we had a very good Bible study. But you'll notice it's just sitting on the side of the street. There's the taxi right there. There's that open sewer again. That's everywhere. And just shops all along. We just sat down there and had a study with him. This young lady walked up. She needed to buy some minutes. And so he's doing his business right there. And then we got back to study. This is this lady right over here on the side. We just got a picture of her. She was selling some food products, some food that was wrapped up in leaves. She's selling there. Now, this young man was over here. The very next day, we had a study with a young lady named Patricia. This business right here, the door is shut. It's actually owned by a member of the church. I think it's auto parts. I'm not sure. But he's the one that set up the study because he always sees this young man out here, and he said, you know, you need to study with him. And then he knows his business neighbor right here, Patricia, so the next day we went and studied with her, and that's her, Patricia. She's a member of a Pentecostal church, and she sells beauty products, different things for the ladies and so forth, and we had a very good study with her. And again, Daniel will follow up with all of these as time permits. So I thought about Acts 5:42. They were teaching in the temple and at home. Paul said, I went from house to house. And so as we had opportunity to talk to non-Christians, we certainly built that in and did that. Now, after about a week, we went to two villages outside of Cape Coast. There are two smaller churches of about 30 members apiece. And they have a tradition with regard to funerals that's kind of interesting. When someone dies, whether they're in the church or not, this is just common everywhere, they post a picture different places around the community, and they let you know about how long he lived. He was 76 and his name and so forth. This was one of the church members that had recently passed away. On the way into this village were some school children. They've got their uniforms on there, and that's their schoolhouse there. You can see it's a pretty rickety building there. But when you get out into the villages, you're really getting out into some rural situations, and we've got brethren out there as well. This is going into the little village. Again, it's just muddy, dirt roads. There's very little infrastructure. They have electric, you know. They'll have Wi-Fi on their phone or something like that. There'll be a cell tower around, but a lot of it is just very poor type situations. This is the meeting place. It's made out of bamboo. It has a little tin roof. This is one of the men who does some of the preaching and teaching. But you can see it's just very rural. This picture right here is just off to the side, just like jungle. This is one area where they do a lot of cocoa beans, chocolate. And cocoa beans is big in Ghana. And there was cocoa bean groves out in this particular area. But there are about 30 brethren that meet here. And there's Benjamin and Steve and the brother that does some preaching and teaching there. This is inside. And one tradition that they have that I had to get used to, over here, when we come in and sit down for whatever occasion, we come in and sit down and we kind of start talking about whatever. They don't do that. They have a formal introduction. So they introduce themselves, and you need to introduce yourself, and it could be things like if you're married or not, if you have children or not, how long, where you live, and you go through all of that. So Daniel is setting up the part where we introduce ourselves. That's a tradition that they have. After a little while, we had an opportunity to encourage a few of the brethren. This is during the daytime, so not everybody can come. People are working, but those who could come did. Here's a few of the men and one lady. This is a husband and wife right here, and this is their son, Obed, and this is who I'm going to talk to in just a minute and have a Bible study, and he will be baptized. He's 19 years old, and after Steve and I did some brief lessons, I just took a picture of this man right here does some of the teaching. He had preached on, does ghosts really exist? He had preached on that the week before, talking about the afterlife. So I took a pen, chalkboard. So Obed and I talked for a while, and he will be baptized. Fine young man, and just simply open to the truth. He just needed that extra nudge. He had heard his dad talking about these things a lot, but he just needed some other things, other questions, other encouragement. And he was baptized. So this is the little pathway down. We're going to go down to the water here. But notice the lady carrying the things on her head. And then this lady's carrying the little baby on her back. Very common sight. This is the baptistry. Now Mark Orbach, when he doesn't change this baptistry, it'll look like that if he doesn't change it up. But he changes it up. But this is their baptistry. It's just a low spot. And they walk around it. So here's a little, you know, the townspeople walk around. Just a low spot. And then this Obed, Daniel will baptize him into Christ. You see how nice and dirty that water is? But it doesn't matter. When you're washing your sins away, it doesn't matter what the environment is like. So he's a new brother in Christ. The next day, we went to another village in Daniel tries to go to these villages in addition to his own work. He stays very busy in doing that. Barase. The other one was Ebekrom. This is Barase. And when we pulled up to this little community, there was a big termite mound. I thought that was interesting. You don't see that too often. Big termite mound. But again, this is where these brethren meet. Notice the bamboo. It's just an open air facility. And then there's a little podium thing, a little table for the Lord's Supper and so forth, and this is where our brethren meet at Barase. Again, after the introductions, Steve and I gave some lessons. The man that normally does there, I took a picture of his lesson that he had done recently. We must prepare for what? For church, for death, to meet the Lord, for judgment, for the second coming. We must prepare daily. So that makes a good sermon. This man, Wayford, he's 20 years old. We studied with him, and he will be baptized. Again, his father had done some of the preaching there and teaching. He knew a lot, but he just had not made that commitment. And one of the big things that was hanging up was he had a child out of wedlock over in Accra, and about 3 hours away, he'd gone and met a girl there, and he has a child over there, and he had committed fornication, and he had gotten off track. And he's thinking about that and concerned about that, with that sin in his life. And so we talked a lot with him about that. And he made the commitment. And one thing that we talked about is repentance and what that really means. And I won't go into all of that because we understand that subject here. But in Ghana, there have been some who have taught that you baptize someone and then you try to get them out of their sin. That's not the biblical way. So you repent first and get out of that sin, and then you're baptized. And so Steve talked with him a lot, especially about that point, that you can't be going over there to that girl and keep doing that. And he made the commitment that he would not be doing that. Before we leave for the baptism, I wanted a picture with the little children. I just like being around them. And so this little girl really took to me, and she held my hand the whole time that we went down to the baptistry area, several minutes away. But they're just fine young children. I enjoyed being with them. This mother, just over my shoulder, handed this little baby to me, but she was having nothing of it. and she was squirming and screaming, and so you didn't see that particular picture. This is the community where several of you gave me money, and I told you that I was going to use it for benevolence. This is several hundred dollars worth of bags of rice and tomatoes and other things that these brethren at Barase do not get. There was a flood, and I'm going to show you some pictures in a minute, back in June, and it wiped them out, and it wiped out some of their businesses, some of their homes. They just have very little. They'll eat some fruit. They'll eat this plant-based meal called gari, but they would just love to have some plain old rice. And Teresa said they need rice. So this is Rachel, Daniel and Teresa's little daughter, and she was helping put bags of rice together. And so these bags of rice we packed the back of the vehicle and took it to these, all of these are brethren at Barase, and they just love to get, it was oil. That's what it was. Oil, rice, and dried tomatoes. And so here they are. And notice how they carry things on their head. Very common. Carrying things on your head. And these are our brethren. And you can see what it's like around town. There'll be a building, and then it'll just be just rough. And that's their world. So we loaded up the rice and gave them that, and they were very grateful for that. And we walked through this village area. This is kind of the main part of town. Here's some brethren walking and going through town. You can see there's places that are very rough looking. Some of these are businesses. Some of these are places where people stay. And we get down to another part of town. We get down to the low area, and this is where Wayford, where Daniel baptizes Wayford into Christ. Again, you can see the nice muddy water there. In this low area of town is where the flood came through. That's why there's water down here. It's the low area of town, and the flood came this direction. That's Benjamin trying to encourage Wayford right after being baptized. I gave him a Bible. We try to give Bibles, especially to new converts. Many of the young people have learned English in school, so they can read an English Bible. This is some area where the flood came through and destroyed. You can see where there would have been a little business sitting here or a part of a home. It's been wiped out. This whole area was flooded, and brethren, I'm going to show you in just a minute, some brethren owned a little business right here, and back in June, it just got washed away. So they don't have that anymore. This was their business. They've moved it up the hill here and to the left, but all of this was flooded, and our brethren got wiped out. This is where his business was. The business was this. It's called gari. It's a plant-based meal. It's kind of like cornmeal. And they will grow it out in the jungle areas, and they'll bring it in. And it's got moisture in it, so they put it in a bag, and this is a press. They crank it down, and notice how these, what we would call simple machines, notice how they will use natural products like a couple of, logs from a tree or trunks from a tree and make a press. But they press the water out of it, and then here is a movie of, all of these are members of the church. Here's a young girl, ladies, y'all can do this. She's pushing the gari in, and they are grinding it up into finer meal. This lady right here and her husband, all of these are members of the church. Everybody's standing around here. They work together, and this lady and her husband own this gari business, and then they sell it, of course, in this town. So there's the husband, and there's the wife, and they're grinding it up there into a finer meal. After they get the finer meal, they put it back here on this stovetop, there's a fire underneath, and they heat it up and get all of the moisture out of it, make it very dry, and then they bag it up and sell it. But again, it kind of tastes like cornmeal. All of these are members of the church working together in this gari business. I think of Revelation chapter 3 and verse 8, where Jesus talks about Philadelphia being a small church, and I take the expression there, a little power, to mean their small size. But if you remember there, Jesus describes them in this way, and I think about our brethren in these small villages, and they're really all over the world, not just in Ghana. but he describes them as, I have set before you an open door which none can shut. You have a little power and did keep my word and did not deny my name. Just a little old group out underneath a bamboo hut type thing, and they are staying faithful to God. You kept my word, and they are certainly doing that. And it says, behold, I have set before you a door open. In these small communities, there's not a lot of churches. There can be some denominations. Up on the top of a hill was a big Methodist building, I think it was. But many people in these communities know who these brethren are, and they have an open door to talk with a lot of people. In fact, when Haywood was being baptized, there were some town people that had gathered around, and they were asking questions. Who are these people? What's going on here? And the brethren were talking with them. I also think, turn with me to Proverbs 19 and verse 17, we need to remember the poor. If we have opportunity, whether it's individually or a congregation, we need to remember our brethren elsewhere. And there are always these kinds of needs. And I'm always reminded when I make these trips of our brethren in other places. Proverbs 19:17. He that has pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord. It's as if we're given to the Lord himself. And his good deed, that is lending, will he, the Lord, pay him again. We're going to be rewarded in the judgment day for remembering the poor. Proverbs 21 and verse 13. Whoso stops his ears at the cry of the poor. I don't care. I don't want to know. You know, out of sight, out of mind. Whoever does that, the proverb writer says, when he cries, he will cry, but shall not be heard. So we've got to remember. And then Peter and James and others told Paul to remember the poor. And Paul said, which we were zealous to do. Zealous. Let's remember our poor brethren. And then the other thing that reminds me with regard to these two villages is when Philip was preaching to the Ethiopian eunuch says, here is water, what hinders me to be baptized? These young men, Obed at Ebekrom and Wayford at Barasi, that we studied, they said, this is what we need to do, let's find the water and do it. There was no argument, there was no debate. And I like to just see that honest, open heart about things. Often today when you talk with someone, it's back and forth and arguing and disagreeing and I don't want to do this and that. But these two young men just said, that's what the Bible says, I need to do it. And I hope we can get back to that attitude today on our approach to God's Word. On August the 17th, I had a study with just about 8 Ghanaian preachers over a meal. We talked about this error that is going around of where you don't have to repent until later. You can be baptized first and repent later. I talked with them about that, and they agree with what the Scripture teaches. We also talked about how that American elderships are controlling schools over there. And they are very much understanding of the truth on that as well. But I want you to notice these are bowls of water, and three bowls of water here. And a lot of the older Ghanaian people, men or women, prefer to eat with their hands. This is a bowl of like chicken and broth, and he's eating that whole thing with his hands. These are preachers. His name is Noah. And this was JJ, and they're both eating the old traditional way, which is with their hand. And I was just jokingly saying to Noah, I said, what are you going to do when you get down to that broth? How are you going to handle that? He said, well, let me show you. He just scooped the whole thing up with his hand and did that with it. They're not using spoons or knives or forks. That is one of the old traditional ways. So knowing that, at a public place like this, they will bring people bowls of water, and you wash your hands first, and then that's how you eat. So Steve and I have knife, fork, and spoon, and these guys are eating the old traditional way. I thought that was kind of interesting. So when I think of these men, I think of Priscilla and Aquila, who are gathering together with Apollos, and they taught them the way of God more accurately. One of the specific goals that I had in this trip, I told Daniel, is there a day where we can get together with preachers and talk about things that are being taught in Ghana? I purposely wanted to do that in case I could help in any way in that regard. And as you know, Apollos was the beneficiary of that. They guided him more accurately, and he goes on to Corinth and preaches and helps them there. So working with other preachers on different doctrinal matters is extremely important. A few days after that, this is toward the end of the trip, I had an opportunity to visit the West Coast School of Preaching in Takoradi. The West Coast School of Preaching is well known in Ghana, and there's certainly nothing wrong with training preachers, but the problem is this school, look at this, Bear Valley Bible Institute, Denver, that's Denver, Colorado. There are elders in Denver, Colorado, who are running a school in Ghana. Not only that, but when you look at the West Coast School of Preaching on their Facebook page, they have a letterhead that in the upper left-hand corner says, under the oversight of the Howe elders in Howe, Texas. So you've got an eldership in Howe, Texas that's over this school. You've got elders in Denver, Colorado that are over this school. And by the way, Daniel is a graduate of this school. Many of the preachers in Ghana have gone to this school, but Daniel no longer is on the side of what's going on here. He understands because nobody has ever taught them any differently. And so what we did was I had an opportunity to talk to the director. This is the current director, and he's in agreement that that arrangement where elders are in one place and they're overseeing something that's not the flock of God among them, he understands that that is completely wrong. And he's going to talk to the original founders of this and try to get it back to the way it was before. And that was where some preachers had got together in a church building and helped train men. Local churches in the book of Acts, Acts 13:1, Antioch, local churches trained other men, not businesses, not elders from the United States watching over something. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2, the local church training men. So, I talked with them at length about Acts 20 and 28. Shepherd the flock of God among you, 1 Peter 5:2, and Acts 20 and verse 28. Bishops over which you are overseeing, you see, that local congregation. And we talked about that a lot and hopefully helped in that regard. We're not trying to stop preacher training, to be very clear about that. We're trying to do it the Bible pattern way. But starting around World War II, American elderships started doing stuff all over the world, and it's been going on since then, and it's actually been creating a lot of problems. These men that were here, they will tell you stories about how that they will go to do something in a local situation, and elders in America will come and override it and change it. They've been under that system for so long that it just goes on everywhere, and they realize that that is not the Bible way. I appreciate the oversight of Bob and Daniel and Clarence, but they limit it to the local church here at Warfield. They're not overseeing stuff in other countries or in other places in Clarksville, let alone other countries. So we hoped to help that situation as well. On the 25th, I leave for the U.S. On the way to Accra, we had one last Bible study. This girl, this is the grandmother, and the girl's taking the picture. She had quadruplets. She had quadruplets, so I got two of them right there. And she's a member of an Assemblies of God. So we had a very lengthy discussion of the baptism of the Holy Spirit and tongue speaking and things involving what Pentecostals and Charismatics like to talk about a lot. So we had a long study about that. And again, Daniel will follow up with her. She's the sister of a member of the church in Accra, and the sister wanted us to talk with her. So we did that. And then when we got to the airport, Daniel has made friends. He is the head of airport security. This is a big International Airport. It is every bit as big as Nashville Airport, very big airport. And he's the head of security. Daniel had befriended him a few years back. And a very kind man, but he pulls us into this private parking area, and his wife had made a meal for us. So we just sat down there on the parking lot, and guess what it was? Rice and what? Chicken. Rice and chicken. There you go. So that was our last stuff. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 1, and then we'll close the evening. While you're turning over there, I posted a trip summary. I was telling Daniel before the lesson, it's not as pretty as Mark Mayberry's, but it's a trip summary of everything, a summary of everything I did each day, and at the end are the expenses that I had, and I listed all of those things, and you can see what money was used for on each day and the different types of things that were spent there, and a summary, and that's all posted on the bulletin board in the back. As I close this evening, I think of 2 Thessalonians, where Jeff has been taking us through this recently. And all of this work, especially these last two, the young man on the side of the road selling minutes, Patricia in the beauty salon, the three girls that work for the seamstress, pray that God's word, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run and be glorified. The seed has been planted. Let it run now and produce good. Let's pray for that. And Lord willing, if we can do it again, I would certainly jump at the opportunity to do that. There is so much good that can be done. Let me speak to the men and the young men to become preachers. You can have a secular job, but preach. Preach on the weekends here. Make trips elsewhere. Preach the Word of God. We need that so much. I know of men that will take personal time, vacation time. I've known of doctors who have done this and others. They'll take some personal vacation time and go to another country. And it is so rewarding. It is so rewarding to go somewhere and see. And you come back so blessed, and you come back realizing what we really have. I couldn't even begin to talk about all the conveniences that we have compared to what they have. Our young people, reach out and learn and understand what's going on in other parts of the world. It helps us from being selfish. It helps us from being spoiled. It helps us from being narcissistic and inward. It helps us to serve others. And every day you're thinking about something else. You know, for 3 weeks, it was good for me. For 3 weeks, every day, to be thinking about somebody else. How can I help somebody else? That was good for me. And so let me encourage you, and especially the men and the wives, to support their men, to go out and preach. Become a gospel preacher. And if you can preach here or even in other countries, I beg you to do that. But let's pray that God's word would run now and be glorified in these areas where we've had an opportunity. The seed has been planted so many places, and by God's grace it will grow. There may be someone here this evening who needs to respond to the gospel. I was just impressed with Obed and Hayford. Talked with them for about an hour apiece. Sure, that's what I need to do. No argument. Let's go do that. How refreshing that was. And we have water here, and it looks a lot better than that murky, muddy water that you saw in those videos. And it's a great opportunity to have your sins washed away. Let me ask you this. Would you rather have a little dirt on you and be in one of those old ponds over there, or would you rather have sin on you? Those are kind of your choices. You can get rid of the sin. And that's the important thing. Or there may be someone here that needs to come back to the Lord. We can help you with that. But again, I appreciate the response. I appreciate the encouragement, the interest, the time to go, the support. All of that is very, very important. And I'm extremely grateful for all of it. We're going to stand and sing this song of invitation. If we can help you in some way, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing.